That's the process. But if enjoyment isn't part of that process, don't trust the process. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
When times change, business and technology must change as well. And GFI Digital is here to help you adjust to the new ways. Make GFI's managed IT service your key partner in making sure your business can run in today's climate. Whether it's making sure your employees can safely and efficiently work from home or brand new technology services designed for your business, GFI Digital will keep you open and serving your community. Let GFI help you adjust to the new method of business and tech. Visit them at GFIdigital.com.
590 The Fan and TMA are happy to announce registration for our Lemmings Open Golf Tournament on Friday, October 23rd, presented by Michelob Ultra, GFI Digital, Dents Express, and STL Digital Media. Foursome tickets will be $600, covering golf and cart for four players, lunch and booze. The tournament will get started with a 10:30 shotgun start. Get your tickets now. This is a first-come, first-serve event. Go to eventbrite.com and search Lemmings Open to sign up today, or click the link to register on the 590thefan.com homepage.
Biggie's Restaurant has been a staple of the community for over 30 years and is serving your favorites for carryout and dine-in. Keeping you safe is just as important as serving the best food in St. Louis. So Biggie's will open with limited seating, including outdoor tables, no more than 8 to a table, and all 6 feet apart. Biggie's will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, as well as Sundays, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Biggie's will be serving their full menu with all of your favorite daily specials.
Don't mess with big box stores or unreliable delivery from out of state when it comes to the PPE that you need. Instead, work with Marco Bertarelli of family-owned local staple Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Masks, hand sanitizer, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Bertarelli has it all. They even cut plexiglass to your exact needs so your business can get back to serving the community. Contact Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply today by emailing Marco at BertarelliCo.com or calling 314-664-4000.
Fitness will always be about keeping a routine, and the best routines in life will always make time for enjoying yourself. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter and that happy tune is yours?
Boy, do I have a good joke today. Haven't told this joke.
Life can be so
in years. I forgot about it. And in today, street, I thought of it.
Used to
it'd be worth the wait. Trust me.
With those blues on the rail. Not afraid, this rover.
I can't knock success.
Crossed over. If I ever have
no idea,
I'll be rich as.
Nobody has access to our control board, obviously.
Gold dust at my feet.
You just turn on the mic from somewhere
and
cut into the show. If you like warm weather, you need to get outside because this is the tail end of probably the last day of this kind of weather, 80s weather, and then it starts to become what it actually is, fall. So enjoy it. Take off a little early. Let's see, 3 p.m. Yeah, what the heck. Get off at 5, a lot of you anyway. Knock off early. If you're valuable to the place where you work, they won't care. What are you going to do? Fire you over 2 hours, an hour and 45 minutes. Good afternoon and welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon on this, the 14th of October. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
We get to the Burke segment and a reminder that Dr. Doug, I was going to say, will be here. He's already here. He likes to come in early. He has no friends. And, you know, he just comes in and hangs out. And a reminder that tomorrow Scott Sherman will be in the 4 o'clock hour to help you with your legal issues and before, like I said, the Burke segment and then your calls and all that stuff. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just in a mood where I was reminded again today that life is, You know, whenever you think that you've got everything covered, well, there shouldn't be any major expenses come along for a while. Boom! And there they come along. This was a $3,000 morning for me. For two things. Just two things. One, I had to have my house waterproof. The brick has to be waterproofed every 5 years. And I forgot, oh, shoot, it's been 5 years. Well, that's a $1,000 deal. Now, you look at me funny, Limey, like, waterproofing brick? What are you talking about?
Waterproofing brick? What are you talking about?
Now, the brick on my house is old Chicago brick, which is a soft brick.
Okay.
And it absorbs moisture. And if you don't waterproof it, and it takes on moisture and then freezes in the winter, the bricks start breaking and crumbling and popping off. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Now, I didn't know this 34 years ago. Nobody told me about this. And then we lived there about 5 years, and I'm outside one day, and I thought, where are all these chunks of brick coming from? And I look up, and they're falling off my house. And the chimney actually just disintegrated.
Wow. Oh, man.
So then I talked to a builder. He goes, well, he came out, and he said, oh, this is that old Chicago brick. It's soft. You got to waterproof it.
Nobody put St. Louis brick on the chimney? At least.
No, I had a chimney rebuilt with just what they call just red brick. It's not soft, and I don't have to waterproof it, but got to do the whole house every year. So I did that. That's $1,000. Then I had a tree guy out because I had to have a tree taken down. Did you ever watch these guys, these tree people?
An arborist?
Yeah. Have you ever seen them get up like monkeys with ropes? It's incredible. It
My
really
sons
is.
Do that. My sons have done that. Mm-hmm.
And they have those spike shoes like the people that climb the glacier mountains, and they dig into the tree trunk, and they just scamper up there like a monkey in about 30 seconds. And then they're hanging in a tree holding a chainsaw. It's the most dangerous looking thing. I just stood in the window thinking, oh, my goodness, please don't slip and cut your legs off while you're in the tree. And then in no time at all, they top the tree. They take the long top branches off first to get it down more to just a long trunk. And then they start hacking that away till they can come down and just knock it down at the base. So that's not inexpensive, but those guys deserve it because that's real work.
How did they charge you, by the hour or by the bid?
By the size of the tree and how much work there was.
They bid it though? Okay.
Yeah. And it really all has to do with how big is that trunk and how high is that tree and how long is it going to take? And not only did they take it down, there's no evidence that anything was there because they threw it into a big wood chipper, something you never want to fall into, by the way.
Oh, man.
And when they pulled away, it was just a big truckload of giblets.
Did they grind the stump, or is the stump
still there? Didn't need to. They took it down, so I don't care that there's a little bit of a stump there. It's behind the house, in the back. I don't care.
About 20 years ago, I lived on the second floor of a three-level apartment on the very edge of the perimeter of the apartment complex. This was in Kentucky. And I had DirecTV install a satellite dish on my balcony. And I lived at the end of the apartment complex, and then behind me was a huge tree line, and then there was residential houses that were over there.
Right.
And I had it installed in the winter when the trees weren't full, but as the trees started to fill out, it was interfering with my signal.
Oh.
So I went to the homeowner, and I said, it was a nice lady, and I said, do you mind if I have your trees trimmed? I live in that apartment right there. I said, would you mind if I had your trees trimmed? I'll pay for it. And she said, oh, no, that's fine. Go ahead. So I call this tree company. They come out to look at it to give me a bid. I said, yeah, we estimate three guys. It'll take us. I needed three trees trimmed. We estimate it'll take three guys probably anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes to do this job. So here's your bid. It was a couple $100,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm at the radio station where I was working at the time, and, you know, they were out there that day, right? I come home that night. And they cut down the wrong trees.
Oh,
they cut down,
hate it when that
because
happens.
The girl that lived underneath me.
By the way, you can't undo that.
Well, no, you cannot.
The girl that lived underneath me had a satellite dish, but she ran a cable along the wall of the building, and she had it on the ground. So they saw that dish and thought, well, it must be these three trees, and it was wrong. So I called this lady when I got home, and I said, "I got news for you, ma'am." I said, "How far away are your guys from my house?" Oh, they just left there 10 minutes ago. I said, man, they cut down the wrong trees. I'm looking at three sharpened pencils sticking out of the ground behind the guy's house that I don't know who he is and didn't get permission from, and they cut down the wrong trees. She goes, man. Hold on just a sec. She didn't put me on mute. She goes, hold on a second. I guess they had an intercom, like CB truck, like office to truck.
Yeah.
Get your asses back over there at 4390 Clearwater. You cut down the wrong MF and trees.
Sure, they'll be over there right away. Like she thought, I think she thought she put me on mute, and she cussed these guys out. And They came back over, and that's when I saw what you just explained. This beehive of activity of these guys scampering up these trees, you know, like, and they cut down those three trees, knowing that, worried about the neighbor coming out and giving them hell.
Right.
They might have been there 20 minutes.
No.
After they bit an hour and a half, you know. I mean, they were just working ferociously fast to get this done and get out of Dodge.
Last week, I had a tree cut at the lake last week. I've had a place at the lake forever. This tree is a problem, and in a bad storm, it's going to go. And the guy came out, and he said, you got one tree that, yeah, it could land on the roof. And I said, okay, that's another 1,000 last week. This is just the 2020, the year from hell, all the way around COVID, and then just start adding other stuff. So my son calls me because he lives there. He goes, hey, Dad, there's some guys at the house. I said, yeah, this is the day they're going to cut that big tree down on the corner by the garage. He says, yeah, but there are 9 guys here.
Wow.
9.
Jeez.
Now, I'm going to say the diameter of this tree was easily 14, 18 inches, a pretty good sized trunk. He said he stood there and watched. It's like Tim just said, it's like somebody went 3, 2, 1, go. And it's some kind of pit stop tree crew. And they went to work. And in a matter of like an hour with 9 guys, this massive tree was not only down, it was chopped, cut, mulched. And there was no evidence that there was ever a tree there. They took that stump down to below the surface of the ground.
Yeah,
they have done and over.
The climbers get paid more than anybody on those crews. But then you have the ground workers, and that's all those guys do. It's just once the tree starts coming down, they're picking stuff up and throwing it in the chipper and everything.
Well, there's this guy today. It was just him and one other guy and 2 monster trucks and a skid loader that they use to pick up big pieces of trunk that you can't pick up any other way. So naturally, this is the second time I've used this guy, so I kind of ask him about advertising. Hey, why not? Any opportunity to maybe get a new client? And like not all other businesses, certainly, but like some businesses, this COVID thing has pushed them way over the top in terms of being profitable. He said this is one of the greatest things, because think about it. People are home, and they look out the window and go, that tree's got to go. Things they don't normally pay attention to. He said it has been a boom for our business.
You're looking at a guy who was told that very same thing by several contractors. The first hardwood floor company I called right in the last weeks I was moving out of my house, he goes, well, I'm backed up 10 weeks. I said, 10 weeks? I said, we're talking about January here? He goes, well, it'd be well into December. I said,
and this was to do what?
To come in and sand my faded hardwood floor and then to put stain it and polyurethane it, right? Backed up 10 weeks.
Okay. The lake tree guy, you know what he told me when I called him? He said, well, I went out and looked. He said, yeah, the corner of the garage, there's a tree. He said, we cannot get to it till first part of January. Now, they did it last week. I'm not sure why. All I said was, oh, yeah, I said, if you don't do it within a week, I'm going to go on the air and ruin your business. No, I didn't do that. What I said to him was this. I said, if you find a hole, like somebody cancels or any opening, all I ask is you just slip me in. And apparently that's what he was able to do. But he did it because he had 9 guys. It didn't cost him a day. It cost him like an hour with 9 people. But he said the same thing. And again, it's a case of COVID actually for some businesses being like a godsend. And I know everybody would prefer it never would have hit. But the good news is that some people are profiting from it. Not everybody is being put out of business. Certainly too many people are.
I don't understand economics very well. I don't understand the stock market. I understand sort of how it works, but I'm not a player in it. I'm not in it. And my brother is. And we were just camping this past weekend. And, you know, as I told you, I sold my house in 3 days.
Right.
And he's big into the stock market. And it's booming right now. And I said, can you explain to me how the country has all this unemployment? And we're having all these companies go under and file bankruptcy, but the stock market's peaking, and I just sold my $326,000 home in 3 days. I had 3 offers in 3 days.
Right.
No, I can't explain it.
No, you can't. And I agree. I watched the stock market. I'm thinking, in my mind, The stock market should be in more trouble than it's ever been in with this COVID.
I know that works either. Stocks are tanking, so it would now be a good time to buy it because
stocks are tanking. They're not all tanking.
No, are they not?
No.
I thought they were tanking.
No. Right. Well, the stock market wouldn't be up if they were tanking.
Right. All right.
It wouldn't make any sense either.
Right.
But here's my thought on the stock market. The stock market is something that makes a lot of people really wealthy if they're already really wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean the Warren Buffetts and the people, you know, because not only are they already wealthy, when you're wealthy, you're also connected. So you can get on the phone with Jack Schmuckmeyer, who is the CEO at some that's about to cut a deal with Jimmy mm-hmm. Jagmaster, who's the CEO of another.
Jimmy Jagmaster.
And they know what's going to happen. Smart. We don't. And so, yes, is it insider trading? Yeah, probably. Does anybody ever get busted? No, just Martha Stewart. So it happens all the time, and those people just get rich. I don't have those connections, so I'm just shooting in the dark. And my track record with the stock market, when I do it myself, not good. Not good. I'd been better off to just hang on to the money.
My theory.
Mr. Schmuckmeyer, Mr. Jagmaster is online money for you.
Schmuckmeyer. Something about a pending big deal that make you both really wealthy.
My theory on why these tree trimmers and these home repair guys are so backed up is because they talk about the unemployment rate being so high, but then there's also this, I wonder what this number is, people working from home
right.
and still collecting a full salary that weren't working from home 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. And when you're at home 15 hours a day instead of 4 hours a day,
you notice stuff.
Stuff starts to bother you. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of looking at that tree. I'm sick and tired of looking at these floors. I'm sick and tired of looking at this hole in the wall. And people,
all right, that patio furniture's got to go.
Pretty much.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know a guy that we worked with, Jim Brown. He is now in the construction business, but he works for a supply company. And I just talked to him yesterday. He said they are so busy, it's unbelievable. He said they have like 15 lines coming in, and they are constantly ringing. And he said that the supplies are just going out like crazy, and it's hard to keep up.
I think the handyman business, any kind of home improvement, add-on, addition, finished basement, the people that do that, I think a lot of those people are doing really well because, like Tim said, you're sitting there staring at stuff you never had time to pay a lot of attention to before. So good for the tree people and good for anybody who's... You know, who's doing well, because for every one of those, it seems like there must be 10 businesses that are even out of business because they can't make it. You know, when you tell a company like a restaurant, well, I know that you put your whole life savings into this. I know you're only open 6 months when this COVID thing hit, but I'm sorry, you can only see 25% as many people as your projections showed that you were going to see. Mm-hmm. That's devastating. You're not prepared for that. So does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. I'd like to introduce Dan Strauss, everybody. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Frank. I want to give Channel 2, Fox 2, kudos for running this story. Did you see hear about the Caseyville police officer?
I did not.
He was on a traffic stop. This happened on Friday.
I'm sorry, did you guys just hear me swallow?
No.
I just took a sip of coffee and I
swallowed.
Didn't hear anything.
Okay. Thank you, Gino. Gino put the business called the CSS, Coffee Slurping Suppressor, on my microphone, and I didn't know if he'd activated it. Apparently he has.
Thank you,
Gino. Good job. Enjoyed that.
So this Caseyville police officer was on a traffic stop, and he heard this call come over for an ambulance about a choking baby, and he knew that he was pretty close, so he left the traffic stop, went over, and got there before the ambulance got there. The lady was just in a panic, waving him down. Mm-hmm. He got out of the car and went over and got the baby, and he said the baby had just stopped breathing and it was choking. So he did the Heimlich. You know how they for the baby, you just kind of lay him over your arm or whatever,
right,
and smack him on the back.
Right.
And he did that about five or six times, and he said whatever was obstructing the airway came out. The baby was choking on formula or something. And so this officer saved the baby's life, and they did a great story on this police officer, how he left the traffic stop and went and did that. And he's a Caseyville police officer. Travis Hoggett, I think.
Spell it.
H-O-G-U-E-T.
Okay, good enough for me. Yeah. Hogan? Travis? Yeah.
Travis Hogan.
Give him a round of applause. Well, you see, yeah. And I'll guarantee you there are probably 1,000 other stories just like that within the last 24 hours we don't know about.
Yeah.
Because they only want to pay attention to the stories of bad cops and expose those. They don't, because that's not exciting or news or no blood in it, and save the kid's life.
But so, I was surprised, and I want to just give kudos to Channel 2 for running that story.
Yeah, because anymore, it's almost like there's a secret agenda to not say anything positive about the police. So way to go, Channel 2.
Yeah.
And since you mentioned that, I'm sorry, I forgot the last couple of days to do this. Folks, every day, especially in this 3 o'clock hour, we would welcome, like what Dan just did, a police officer story, a positive story, a true story, something that you know firsthand happened where a police officer went above and beyond, because they're out there. There are far more of those stories out there. So if you have one, you call us and share it with us. I'll give you the numbers now, and then we'll finish the Burke segment. 314-821-0590. One good story a day like that would be great. Two would be better. 855-282-8255. Dan, any more?
Burke, that's segment? It.
That's it? Anybody
I
else?
I have two segment? Quick ones.
Tim Woodburn, everybody. Thank You're Frank. Welcome.
Thank you, Frank. We have a jerk in our presence. His name is Limey. Because
what did I do?
I'm about to tell the world. I came in today and positively exclaimed that I was happy to announce that the COVID-19 test I took yesterday came back negative.
All right.
I didn't know that.
Way to
this
go,
is breaking news. Yeah. I did not know that.
No, I didn't either.
And the first words out of Limey's mouth are, great, now I don't get 2 weeks off.
Well, there's a word for that. It's called British slacker. See, in Great Britain, they're lazy. And he went over there and had 19 years to learn how to be lazy
right.
and how to be a slacker.
Now it makes sense.
And now that he's back here, we're going to knock that out of him and get him back to the American work ethic. Unbelievable. You actually said that. I'm not surprised. I don't get 2 weeks off.
Very good, very good, very good.
I knew someone.
I guess
from,
I'm supposed to work. I'm not a teenager.
I knew someone from Arkansas a long time ago, and they used to say, why would it just knock the blood out of you?
No, cut the blood.
Cut the no. They said knock the blood
out
of you.
My music teacher said I'll cut the blood out of you. Mrs. McDougal, the meanest music teacher ever.
I always said when I was growing up, I'll knock you into next week.
Yeah. My dad said that.
Yeah, knock you into next week.
Only it was another word. I'll knock you into the middle of next week. That's what he said.
Right.
Hey, folks, this is the cruelty that we grew up with as kids. Think about this. One of your parents saying to you, you do that again, I will knock you into the middle of next week. Or your music teacher saying, somebody's not singing. We're all supposed to be singing. And if I detect that you're moving your mouth and you're not singing, I'll come over there and I'll cut the blood out of you.
Oh.
That's what she said. I'll cut the blood out of you.
That reminds me of the scene in Ray Donovan where he was going over to beat somebody up. Because this guy wouldn't quit stalking a younger woman. And Ray Donovan kicks the guy's door in. He goes, all right, he's got a bag, right? You don't know what's in the bag. He goes, you want the bag or the bat? He had a bat in his hands. He goes, you want the bag or the bat? And the guy, like, looks at the bag, like, there could be a gun in there. There could be a knife in there. I don't know. He goes, I'll take the bat. He beat him with the bat.
Yeah, here's the other thing.
Horrible.
When you're a kid, the things that stick in your mind that you can't get out of your mind are weird, like this music teacher, okay, that said, I'll cut the blood out of you. She was very heavy. Now, that in itself, a lot of people are heavy, but she wore, is there a name for those stockings where they roll them up just to the middle of their thighs and that's it?
They're old lady stockings.
Old rolled up stockings and her fat legs. So the stockings made her fat legs above the stockings bulge out.
She had muffin tops on her legs.
Thank you. Muffin top. And it was so disgusting. And she sat at the piano with her legs apart. And you wanted to just throw up. It was just, as it was the South and no air conditioning. So in the summer, she would fan, open her legs and close them in like a fan wing, sort of bat wing thing to get air up under her dress. And if you weren't careful and you accidentally caught a glimpse of that, you'd get sick to your stomach.
Winked at you. Unfortunate.
Well, my dad would say she'd take your picture. I don't know what that meant.
My dad used to have a phrase when he'd see a woman and she'd be about a size 30 ass and size 20 pants.
Yeah.
he'd say, look at her, Timmy. She'd come out of those pants like a can of biscuits.
That's a great description. It's a great description.
What kind of biscuits?
And my second Burke segment thing was, and Frank and I had a spirited conversation about this subject in a different matter off the air. An AM and the PM listener called me today and wanted to know, and I'm going to ask Scott Sherman this tomorrow, and I think he's going to email Scott.
Oh, this is a good one.
His 87-year-old mother-in-law one day announced to the family that she had a new 50-year-old boyfriend.
All right, let him absorb this.
Okay.
She's 87. Mm-hmm. He's 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, shockingly, he convinced her to loan him $90,000.
What?
Wow. There's a surprise.
Yes. Wow. And she made him write a promissory note.
Right.
And I said, well, unless it's delegated that her heirs are entitled to that money, I think you're SOL.
Well, but you forgot the part that she died.
Well, yeah, she died.
Yeah.
Oh, she died. And there's
it's kind of important.
I'm sorry. I thought I did say that. Well, she died. And so there's a promissory note, and so now he wants to know if her heirs are entitled to that money. And I told him I don't think so unless they're named in it.
Mm-mm.
But folks, and by the way, Frank and his family are celebrating tonight the birthday of his 90-year-old mother-in-law,
which was yesterday, but our party is tonight.
Celebrating it tonight. Just a word of advice, okay? If anybody out there has parents in their 80s or older, and all of a sudden they have a boyfriend or girlfriend that's at least 25 years younger, mm-hmm. just say the following sentence. If they ask you to borrow any money, let me look at the document before you sign it.
Yeah. You know, well, the good news for us is my mother-in-law doesn't have any money, so she can't loan anybody any. So if she gets a 50-year-old boyfriend, we'll just go, hey, good for you, Jerry. Way to go.
No, you start dating an 87-year-old, and then you go, hey, can I borrow $90,000?
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. You actually expect this guy to pay anybody? He didn't even intend on paying her. He just used her for the money. Well, so then, they're not going to get anything.
I'm just saying. You know, sometimes your parents looked out for you your whole life. It's time to look out for them.
And I guarantee they didn't discover this. I bet until she was dead that she had loaned this guy this money.
Probably. I didn't ask him, but you're probably right.
Because one of my grandmothers died, my mother had to go over and go through her stuff at the house. And that's when they discovered all the check stubs where she had written all these evangelist checks.
Oh,
like Ernest Angley and Rex Humbard. And
he was,
he was a big name up in Akron, Ohio, where she lived. Just check after check to these scumbags. And people for years had wondered what happened to her, because she'd had a little money, and all of a sudden it's just not as much money. It went to these jerks. It went to these people who came on TV and told her that, you know, if you send us this money, we'll send you a blessed cloth or a plastic cross that glows in the dark. And she had a room full of that stuff.
With the exception, sort of, and if I can say this in a I swear I'm straight kind of way, Billy Graham being relatively a chiseled, decent-looking guy. Right. Especially
easy.
Why is it that all these guys are creepy-looking?
I know.
You'd be like a chiseled, good-looking guy up there trying to get this money. It's always the guy that looks like he's in a child predator van around the corner.
Yeah,
he's on TV, and now
he's a registered sex offender.
He's the head of the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ernest Angley.
And a horrible toupee and loud clothes. And
Swaggart and Baker, and the list goes on and on. I mean, they all just look like the creepiest relative I've ever had.
And then notice this. Notice how many of them, I've talked about this before, have either real Southern accents or fake Southern accents. There's something about a Southern accent. There's a commercial
makes
running.
You wholesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
More trustworthy.
Yes. There's a commercial running now on a satellite radio, and it's a guy who has started a business of helping people get out of their time shares. And when it comes on, I'll make up a name. I won't use his real name. Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name's Mark Childers. You know, a few years ago, I was in the timeshare business, and I actually sold timeshares. And then I realized I was cheating people. They were never going to see any value out of that. And my conscience got a better of me, and I just decided I need to make this right. I went back to my customers and helped them get out of that timeshare, and I'd like to do the same for you, because I want to do what's right. Now, there are a lot of old people out there going, okay, this guy is a really good guy, because why? Because he's got a Southern accent. And then look at the evangelist. And God said that if you are not a believer, it's just, so many of them are Southern, there's something to that. Watch Oh God with John Denver.
and watch Paul.
Oh.
Paul
Sorvino or
Sorvino. Paul Sorvino.
Yeah.
What a fantastic portrayal of a Southern Baptist evangelist. He nails it. When he gets up and talks, and this young man has come forward to say that he spoke to God. Better yet, God spoke to him. Now, Billy
Graham.
You went
to English then.
Billy Graham had, he was from North Carolina. He had a little bit of that. The difference was, as I've said before, you know, Billy Graham. And to Tim's point about looking creepy, Billy Graham was an extreme movie star looks almost. And when my wife met Billy Graham, like face to face, shook his hand, she said later, she said, it was as close maybe as she'll ever come to meeting God. He was, there's something about
Wasn't
this guy.
Wasn't he the guy that was actually like a legit preacher?
Yes.
He lived in like a normal, humble house.
Same house for like 40 years. Yes. He drew a salary that was $180,000 or somewhere in there. He did not live an extravagant lifestyle at all. And I had, and I'm glad I did, the chance for 2 weeks to work for him, volunteered, and got to be on the inside of stuff, where the collection money went, how they talked when they were in private meetings. Did they belittle people? Did they curse? Did they take the Lord's name? And the answer is no, no, no. He was the real deal. It was beyond impressive how he not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk.
Hey, going back to that 87-year-old, do you know how she died?
I do not.
COVID. No matter how she died, he'd probably put COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay, now, anybody have a Burke segment?
That's it.
Nope, I got nothing.
All right, close it. Burke segment's officially closed. All right, we don't do politics here, and this is not politics in the sense that we're going to...
We don't?
Well, we're not going to take a side left or right. But I don't know how, if you're following at all, this Amy Coney Barrett, where they're running her through
Supreme
the mill.
Court nomination hearings.
Yeah.
Right.
This is one of the most impressive women I've ever seen. They, at one point yesterday, she had a pad in front of her and a pen. And somebody who was questioning her just asked, and I don't know how they approached it, what notes she was taking. It seems she held it up and it's blank. She hasn't taken one note. This woman has the most incredible memory to recall cases by the year. And statutes, and she is on now. In addition to the fact that she's a brilliant woman, she's raised and is raising seven children. How do you raise seven kids and reach that level in the judicial system of being nominated to the Supreme Court? Because think along the way of all the accomplishments she's had to get to that point. How does somebody do that? She's impressive is an understatement for her. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care if you think that Trump is ushering her in there for his own agenda. Forget all of that. You have to give this woman major. When they talk about inspiration for young women, look at this woman. I don't like watching this stuff, but I've had a hard time not at least watching some of what she's going through, and it's nothing like the Kavanaugh thing, where they tried to just crucify that guy. They can't with her, because if you do, you're a hypocrite, because many of the people who want to take her down are the same people who are proponents of women's rights and women succeeding. So it's a dilemma for them.
Yeah.
And she is extremely bright, and her voice doesn't match her brain. Because her voice is a little bit, you'd expect her to sound more judicial, whatever that means. And her voice doesn't match. But she looks, I gotta put this right, she's almost too cute to be a Supreme Court. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's like
I
you
know
expect
exactly
them to
what
be dowdy and like a librarian. She's just naturally cute. I think it's okay to say that a judge is cute. And one other thing. Fake news. If you don't think it exists, you're crazy. It does. It exists on both sides. Trump throws it out. It's thrown out about Trump. Let me give you a couple of examples. Donald Trump, and whether you like him or hate him, we can all agree, talks too much and says some stupid things. And one of the things he said when he was debating a Biden, he brought up Hunter Biden and said that Hunter Biden was dishonorably discharged. That is not true. It's not true. Hunter Biden was kicked out of the Navy and was kicked out because he tested positive for cocaine. He received what's called an administrative discharge. There are four kinds of discharges from the military. There's honorable, dishonorable, punitive, and administrative. He was thrown out on an administrative discharge, which is pretty vague, but it's not good. Right. But when you say somebody was dishonorably discharged and you don't know what you're talking about, that is essentially the worst thing you can say about anybody who was in the military, because if you were dishonorably discharged, you will probably never get a job anywhere if they find that out, because people who are discharged dishonorably are usually rapists, murderers, traitors. You get the idea.
Right.
Some bad serious people. Stuff. And most of the people who get a dishonorable discharge end up going to prison.
Wow.
So he wasn't. He tested positive for cocaine. He has a history of drug abuse. And it was an administrative discharge. So we need to all learn to dig up the facts before we just believe everything that we hear. Now, on the other side, that's something Trump said he had no business saying. Then I read this morning, and I went digging and checked into it, where somebody had said that Donald Trump, and they had his quote, supposedly his quote, where he said of Amy Barrett, well, you know, and they wrote it so it would sound like Trump. You know, you look at these other justices, you look at them, and they're not attractive. It's about time we had somebody who was attractive on the Supreme Court. And one of the reasons I nominated her, one of the reasons I nominated her is because she's attractive. He never said that, ever. Never. But if you print it and do it in his lingo, it looks legit.
I mean, that sounded exactly like something he would say.
Oh, he's got some, like he'll say, you look at China, you look at, he always says, you look at, you look at, you look at, yeah. He does that a lot. He'll say, like nothing they've ever
China.
Seen before. Like nothing they've ever seen before. Look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. But he didn't say he nominated her because she was hot.
Well, my favorite thing is watching Nancy Pelosi was up, and it's her words, and she's talking to some reporters, and she said, no. We make stories up. We'll make stories up, and then we just kind of throw it out there and hope that someone in the media picks it up, and then it gets legs and goes.
She
and
said that?
Yeah.
Naturally, like, yeah, you have the audio did. For that?
I have one other question, and then we'll let this go. Around the room, Slimy, do you think Donald Trump will be... This is not a political discussion left or right. This is just a simple... Do you think, and it's not asking you how you'll vote, do you think he'll win?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Dan?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's a good answer. Tim? Yeah.
I have five separate $100 bets right now that Trump will not win.
Okay.
With my brother and other friends of mine.
I'm going to say that I don't think he will. I'm not saying I don't want to or that I do, and I don't. And I'm going to tell you why.
Wow.
I don't know how anybody can survive 4 years of being trash-talked, criticized, nothing but negative, negative, negative from 95% of the media. How do you survive 4 years of that and come out and win an election? Because that's what's happened, is the media has, before he was inaugurated, portrayed this guy as a bully, as a fascist, as a racist, as on and on and on. Maybe he is, maybe he sort of is, maybe he isn't, but I don't know how anybody, when the country is exposed to nothing but negative things. I don't know how you win.
I think one, he's going to win because all of this negative press that he's been getting, his fans have just doubled down. And I think that the Democrats have done way too much pandering to people. I think he's going to get in. I don't think he's going to get the popular vote again. I think he's going to win for the Electoral College. But I think Trump's going to win. I don't see Biden and Kamala Harris walking in on January 1st or January 2nd.
If somebody said to me, explain to me how you think he could lose. Okay, I just did. I think he could lose simply because we've told the whole world he's horrible and we can't reelect him. If somebody said to me, explain how you think he could win, here's what I'd say to you. Get in a car and start driving through Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Kentucky, and see and count how many Trump Pence signs and banners you see and how many Bidens. It's not even a contest.
Mm-hmm.
Get the car and head out of here and go down 44. Trump, Pence. So if somebody says, do you see a way he could win? I say, well, apparently there's a whole lot of the country that they don't seem to know exists. It's like they think everybody lives East Coast, West Coast, or D.C. We don't.
And I like to gamble on sports, and I like to bet on things. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm pro or con on somebody.
I've gambled on sports. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Gambling. It's just more fun.
Well, the reason why I made the bets is because I just recall when Trump was on stage with 15 other Republican candidates. Remember when they had those huge debates and they were all up there?
Yeah.
And all Trump wanted to talk about during those debates was the polls. Look at the polls. Look at the polls. I'm way ahead. Look at the polls. Look at the polls. Well, now he's getting his butt kicked in polls of states that nobody thought he would win last time, like Michigan and other states, and Pennsylvania. And it's like, he doesn't want, now you never hear him talk about the polls. And the polls say because that he's not going. So I'm just statistically saying that in my, you know, I bet against the Chiefs last week. Doesn't mean I like the Chiefs. I just meant I bet against them.
Right.
Right. So I'm betting against Trump. Doesn't mean I don't like him or do like right. him. I just don't think he'll win because of the polls. Because he was so right about the polls last time when he shocked the world.
Bill Cleveland says Trump landslide win.
So, but a lot of people say that.
That's what I mean.
Again, like, that doesn't, don't email Bill. That doesn't mean he's going to vote for him. It just means
what
he
I mean.
Sees a landslide.
I think his fans are going to double down, and I think a lot of these people who are right now saying, yeah, let's get Trump out of the office, are going to sit at home on voting day and just be like, nah, I don't have to go. Everybody else is going to vote.
Okay. This is something, it doesn't even make sense to be able to say this, but you can this time around. If he wins, I will not be shocked. If he loses, I won't be shocked. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no,
it could go either way.
It makes absolutely
perfect
sense.
Screw the polls. All the polls said Hillary's going to win, and she didn't. So I don't pay any attention to the polls. I just don't.
Well, carry on.
The smartest guy I know in politics is a guy that...
I was going to do that.
And he predicted to me that Hillary Clinton would win the popular vote by at least 2 million, and he predicted that she would lose the election. And I said, you're out of your effing mind.
You're right.
And he was actually low. She won the
popular
vote.
When you said effing, did you say freaking?
No, I said I went full out.
Oh, boy.
I went full out. I went full out. And he was low. She won it by 3 million.
Man.
This same guy is now telling me he thinks Biden's going to win the popular vote by 5 million. And Trump will still win.
Yeah. Well, that'd be something.
Which would be unbelievable.
Trump's going to get the Electoral College. I'm telling you.
All right. He's well, we'll remember you said that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's it. And that concludes political talk, which is not taking sides, not supporting, it's just... how can you not talk about it a little bit?
I'm excited to see what January 1st, 2021 is going to be like when this crappy year is over.
Me too, man.
I just want to see, like, and then what's going to happen. And then... Everybody that's freaking out if Trump wins, he's only got 4 years in office, and then he's gone. And 4 years have kind of flown by.
No, they really have. No, it seems like yesterday.
They've blown by.
That he won.
I know. And I don't close in my house until November 5th, and the election's the 3rd. I have to find somebody who's holding an election watch party, because I don't have
cable TV
at my house.
You will.
And I need to find somebody who's putting up a fire pit and a big screen TV in their backyard. And can I come? I'll bring
you will.
An election watch party. I know. I
had to work the last election night.
I don't think we're going to know. I don't think we're going to know who the definitive
winner is. Be careful whose house you go to, because it could get ugly. I'm serious. Yeah, you better go to a house of all like-minded people.
Are you serious?
I just said I was.
Yeah.
I think no matter who wins, the opposition is going to call for a recount, or they're going to put up like... They're going to cause a fuss or a problem.
Not if it's a landslide.
If a major network declares Biden the winner, I guarantee we haven't seen anything close to Trump's head exploding we'll see the next day.
He will have a Twitter meltdown.
And the stops that he'll pull out to try and reverse it or whatever.
Twitter meltdown.
He will go down like a 2-year-old having the worst temper tantrum of his life.
I think you're right.
And then we're going to leave it. This is where we leave it.
Okay.
I read a really interesting... I don't know if it was an editorial piece, an op-ed somebody wrote, but they compared Trump to somebody else who in this country was despised by a lot of people, who was profane and irreverent and said exactly what he thought, and many people were just shocked at what came out of his mouth, and he's one of the greatest leaders that we ever had. I'm talking about George Patton. General Patton was a foul-mouthed, unconventional, his way or the highway. He was very much like Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And even within the military, a lot of people couldn't stand this guy. But look what he did. He kept us from being a communist country. This guy is a big reason that World War II ended the way it did.
Yeah.
And Patton was a really colorful person, not unlike this other guy, Trump. So, I don't know. It's a really tough call. If I had to make a bet, money, I'm afraid I'd have to put it on him not winning.
Really?
And I say afraid, not meaning I want him to or don't want him to. I can't say, like Limey does, landslide. We'll see. 20 days away or something? We'll see.
The last election night, I was laying on my couch at home by myself, back to the TV, because I was so convinced Clinton was going to win, and she was projected as the landslide winner. And I was in one of those phases where, like, you're kind of in and out of sleep, and like you're dreaming, and then you're awake, and you're back to sleep. And as I'm going through these periods of in and out of sleep, and I'm hearing, shocking, Donald Trump has won Minnesota, won Wisconsin, and I literally, when I all of a sudden I woke up, and I'm like, oh my God, did he win? And I had to, the TV went to dark because
you think you were dreaming.
Right. I did. I honestly thought I was dreaming that he won.
No, I understand.
When really, it was coming into my ears that he had won as I was sleeping.
I understand, man. I was working at the last place overnight. I was doing overnight news. It was big political night, so everybody was there. And I just remember looking at the TV and thinking, no way, he actually did it. He actually won.
Like, oh, that a lot of people had that.
Wow. I mean, I was just sitting there for about 10 minutes just staring at the TV, just thinking, wow,
if you're Hillary Clinton and you got all this confidence you're going to win, just
you have a giant
tail, and then you have this big watch party, all your friends and family are ready to celebrate, and then you lose. How do you sleep that night?
But that's the thing. Hang on a second. That's the thing. You remember at the watch party, she had that giant glass, like, presentation or whatever it was, and when she won, there was this giant glass
like shaved ice or something.
No, it was something to represent, you know, a glass ceiling, and her winning, it was going to smash because she had smashed through the glass ceiling, and then she lost, and it was this giant glass thing that took over like the entire stage, and then that
was on eBay the next day,
and then it was just like, you know, slowly taken down. I lost a little bit of respect for her that night because she kind of pouted and just
she didn't kind of pout. Go read an account from any reporter who was at where she was when she was supposed to hear the news that she won, and when Tim said Trump's going to melt down, what's going to happen is Trump's going to do publicly what she did privately, except that
what
it got leaked. She threw things at people.
God.
Unlimited F words everywhere, profanity like they said you've never heard before, screaming. They had to. Now, this is from a couple of reporters. I read their articles who were there, said it was frightening, the meltdown that she had, and she was calling people out by name. You cost me this election. You cost me. You blankety blank F. This.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Wow. They, according to a couple people there, a doctor had to come in and sedate her. She was out of her mind. That's going to be Trump, but it's going to be public.
It's going to be all over Twitter.
He's going to ask the media to come bring your cameras in here. I'm going to melt down. I want you all to see it. Yeah. Hers was supposedly in private.
I never heard that.
I guarantee you that if Trump loses, we're going to see this tweet. I'm not leaving the Oval Office or something like that, or they're going to have to take me out.
Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, that would just be, that would be the story of the century. Like
the video of them carrying him in the chair. No, he's still in the chair. Like carrying the Pharaoh on a, you know how he carried him on a chair? Right. He cuffed himself to the chair. Oh my, that would be, this is going to be really interesting. And we're less than a month away, so we'll see. Anybody else? No, we closed the
Burke segment. We're done.
All right, Burke segment is officially closed.
I'm out of time now. Yeah, we're done.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, we're done.
I got a lot of catching up to do, so hit that music that we always play. Sorry. That's what happens. See, you start talking politics, you lose your mind. You lose your place. You lose a lot of things. So we're finished with that. Dr. Doug Pernikoff is here. I understand we're going to check in with Styx Londoff. After we do that, I'll get caught up. A little before that, a little after that, Dr. Doug will take your pet questions. He is your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. We're glad you're with us on this, the 2 weeks away from Halloween. And you know what's coming, the Freddie Freeman joke.
Oh, yeah.
The longest joke that I tell ever in the course of a year, Freddie Freeman, probably enhanced even a little more. It gets longer every year. So glad you're with us. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The 590 The Fan app is ready for you at your app store. Download it now and start listening today. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The confirmation hearing for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett resumed after the sound system crashed in a Senate hearing room. That prompted a delay before Capitol technicians fixed the audio problem. The city of New Orleans is filing a lawsuit over absentee ballots. Currently, there are two in their city that stretches 350 square miles. City Councilman Jason Williams says the state should not limit ballot drop-off locations during a pandemic.
We find ourselves tangled in a struggle for